Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 325, all four stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 325, all four stanzas. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and we'll read verse 1 through 20. Mark 4, beginning at verse 1, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Mark 4, beginning at verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100 thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness has granted unto us unworthy sinners another time to enter into thy house in the middle of this week, especially for a prayer service, to beg thee, the Almighty Lord God of heaven and earth, to bless the seed, thy word that will be sown in the coming season. Lord, we beg thee that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, powerfully. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Give that dead sinners who are dead in their sins and trespasses may be made alive, become lost, and cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that awakened, living sinners, recipients of thy grace, may be led to that only place of safety, that only place of refuge, that only one who is that way back to God against whom we have sinned and offended. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would look upon us in mercy. We have no rights when we come before thee in this prayer service. Lord, we can only bring forth to thee all our sin. Lord, look upon us then through thy Son, thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, who sits at thy right hand, whom thou hast exalted to the highest. Oh, may we beg thee that thou would hear us and answer us and shower those blessings upon us that no man can give us, no one else, but thou alone, through him, through his merits, through his righteousness, and through his all-atoning blood. Lord, teach us to pray. We are born prayerless, and without thy grace we will die prayerless. But Lord, by that renewing work, it may be said of sinners, may it be of boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, behold, he, she prayeth. Oh, may there come that urgent need to cry unto thee, that urgent need for one to cover us, that urgent need and longing to pour out our hearts before thee, the Almighty God who lives and reigns forever. Lord, we beg thee then, as again we may be together, that thou would gather with us. And may we plead upon thy own promise, for thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Lord, thou art faithful to an unfaithful people. Thou art merciful to a sinful people. And so, Lord, we beg and pray thee for thy honor, for thy glory. Come among us and give that true life that thou alone can give, but also those living ones, those poor and needy sinners, may they be led further in that way, on that way, on that narrow way that leadeth unto thee. Teach them those necessary lessons of misery, deliverance, and then will also flow that gratitude unto thee. Lord, teach of that only comfort in life and in death, that we do not belong unto ourselves, but that we belong unto that faithful Savior who has bought us with his precious blood. Oh, what a wonder that in this coming season, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, that by the power of thy word may be born again, become lost, and but also come to know that only name whereby we must be saved. Oh Lord, wilt thou then bless the law that we become guilty, polluted, lost, wretched, and that we have no rights, but that we're only bowing before thee in the dust, begging for mercy. But also, Lord, bless the preaching of the gospel. Oh, may there be that great physician who has that balm in Gilead to heal, to comfort poor, guilty, wounded, lost, perishing sinners. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember then all those who have the responsibility to sow the seed, us as a consistory, as a servant, ambassador, elders, deacons, give faithfulness. Give that we may speak clearly according to the meaning of the Spirit, death in Adam, life in Christ, and how a sinner is brought to the only precious, rich, and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we beg thee then, bless the catechism lessons. Bless the teaching and confession of faith in the Bible studies. But also, Lord, bless the preaching of thy word. Help, Lord. Help each one who has a responsibility. We are sinful instruments, insignificant, sinful instruments. Yet may we be used in thy hand for thy honor, for thy glory, for the coming of the kingdom, that sinners may be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son and instructed in that way of that only way of faith. Lord, we beg thee then, help. Give that we may be dependent upon thee, and that thou would then give thy Holy Spirit to instruct, to teach, to preach, but also to apply thy word to the hearts of the children, of those in the confession of faith class, in the Bible study, but also each Lord's Day in thy house. Lord, remember also Rehoboth Christian School, the board, the president, and all those who are called to govern the school in a godly way. Give them light. Give them faithfulness. Give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Remember the teachers, the principal, the vice principals, the whole staff. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou give God-fearing teachers, and that they may be used also to instruct not only all the things caring for this world, but especially for the students, for their never-dying souls, and for that life to come. But remember also the students, bless thy word richly, powerfully to their hearts. Remember us as parents, may we also be faithful in our homes to open thy word, to read thy word, to also instruct our children in the precious truths of thy word, and bless all these means of grace, Lord, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners may be born again, and that thy dear people may be instructed, may be reproved when necessary, admonished, but also, Lord, may they receive that only comfort, that comfort that only comes from thee by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the merits of thy dear Son. Lord, we beg thee then, work mightily, irresistibly. Lord, blow mightily with the wind of the Holy Spirit in thy house on the Lord's day, but also in the school and in our homes. O Lord, give that sin may become sin, that there may be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. May there be that thirsting and hungering for thee, for the living God. May there be an urgency in our hearts for that only Savior, to have him to cover us, to wash us. Oh, we beg thee, renew sinners and conform them to the image of thy dear Son. Oh, give that maybe we may be a praying people, bowing before thy throne of grace without any rights as beggars, and that we cannot let thee go except thou wilt bless us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give a revival, give a returning unto thee. Give love for thee, for thy law, for thy word, for thy ways, and hatred for sin, that we may be in the world but not of the world, that we may be a light in this dark world for thy honor, for thy glory. And oh, we beg thee that thy dear people, those little lambs and the sheep, may produce more fruits for thy honor, for thy glory. O Lord, we beg thee then tonight when thy word may go forth, shoot out arrows and convict sinners and convince them of their sins. Oh, may it be tonight that sinners would be brought to repentance and that the angels in heaven may rejoice. And oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word also may be richly blessed, and that when those marks of grace may be proclaimed from thy word, and when we may hear of the fruits that thou works in the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thy dear people may have thy Spirit to witness with their spirit, that they may have a little comfort, that they may go home brokenhearted in the dust, adoring thee for that great mercy for such unworthy sinners. Lord, that the end of this evening may be to the honor of thy name, to the coming of thy kingdom, to the salvation of sinners. Help them, Lord. Give much prayer and give opening to preach, opening to hear, opening of the mind to understand, opening of the spiritually blind eyes to see who we are before thee, a holy and a just God. But also, Lord, open hearts to receive the word. By nature, our hearts are so hard. We hear the law and we don't tremble. We hear the precious gospel and there is no joy. Lord, it's because we are dead, dead in sins and trespasses, and we need thy grace. We need life. We need that work of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And so we beg thee, do not pass us by, but give those blessings that no man can give us, but thou alone can give us. Oh, look down from above and pour out the blessings, rend the heavens, and come among us, Lord. And so we lay these needs before thee. Remember each one here. Thou knowest each heart, how it is. We have heard thy word many times, maybe for many years, and how is it now with our heart? Lord, we beg thee, give tonight also that honesty with our own soul by the light of thy Spirit. May we be given to examine ourselves as we hear of those different hearts who have heard thy precious word. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would richly bless thy word. Remember all those who are mourning, comfort them, widows, those who have lost children, those who have lost a parent, those who have lost a sibling, a friend. Lord, we beg thee, give comfort. And we think also that mourning family, the De Jong family, as Mrs. De Jong has passed away this week, comfort the family, Lord. Give also when thy servant will do the burial and speak thy word, bless it richly, help him, and that the death of one may be the life of many. We pray care for all those who are sick and afflicted, all those with the cares and needs of the body and of the mind. And we think especially of Luke, Lord. Remember him, help him, Lord. Bless the means that he may use to help him, help his parents. But remember all of us, Lord. We're all traveling to eternity. We all have a never-perishing soul, and soul lost, all lost. Lord, look upon us in mercy then. Give then a good hour in thy house. Take away all the obstacles and hindrances in listening and in preaching. Bind up that evil one, Lord. Cast him out, and that thy word may go forth with power, and that it may be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may listen. It's the word of God. Help all thy servants, Lord, throughout this world. Thou knowest what each one needs. Remember also the theological school which began yesterday. Help the students, help the instructors, and we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou thrust out many more labors into thy vineyard? Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray and beg thee then, do not pass us by. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 357, all four stanzas. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy by grace and wondrous love restored. 357, all four stanzas, and the offering for this evening is for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, you and I are very blessed. Why are we very blessed? Because we have the precious Word of God. God, in His mercy and goodness, is willing to preach, to proclaim His Word, that the seed of His Word may be sown. The Word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation. How many sermons have you heard? Children, how many times have you heard the Word of God read to you in your homes? You go to school or taught at home. How many Bible stories have you heard? How many times have you heard the Word of God? What's the effect? What effect has the Word of God had on your heart? How do you hear? Is there fruit? God is looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit on the tree of your life. Children, teenagers, adults, older ones. Again, in God's mercy, we may begin a new season. Yes, we may continue to preach the Word of God, yet we may begin a new season. School will begin. At Rehoboth Christian School, you may go there also to hear the precious Word of God. You may have catechism lessons. Hopefully, confession of faith to some. Bible studies. But also, there will be house visitation. Yes, that's also sowing the seeds. And that's the responsibility of those who God has called as an ambassador, elders, deacons, as teachers, principal, vice principals, but also parents. We're called to sow the seed. But the question is, has the sown seed had an effect? Yes, it always has an effect. Because either it will break your heart or it will make it harder. What is the fruit? The Lord Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, is with a large multitude. It's a mixed multitude, all different types of hearers. He has preached the Word of God. He has sown the seed. And now he tells the parable of the sower, maybe a well-known parable. And the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word, the gospel. And the different soils are different hearers. Tonight, we can divide the congregation into different types of hearers, and that includes from the youngest to the oldest. There's four types of hearers, as we will hear. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed, the Word of God, is perfect. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the most excellent, perfect preacher of the Word of God. Many heard, but many also left him. They left him. And the Lord Jesus Christ now gives, after preaching for some time, a parable of the sower, which we will consider with the Lord's help, that we would reflect. How have we heard the Word of God? What is the effect? What is your heart? Is there fruit? And what will be the effect of hearing the Word of God, of hearing the gospel in the future, the Lord willing? And so, we will consider the Word of God from Mark 4, verse 13 through 20. But at this time, I will only read verse 20. Mark 4, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the theme for this evening is hearers of the gospel. Hearers of the gospel. Four types of hearers. First, hard-hearted hearers. We read that in verse 15. Second, shallow heart hearers. We read that in verse 16 and 17. And then in verse 18 and 19, I would like to call it crowded heart hearers. And then lastly, receptive or fruitful hearers in verse 20. And as you listen, as we go through this parable and we consider these four types here, search your own heart. Which one are you? You are one of these, each one of us. And may the Lord work mightily, convict sinners of their sin, but also give comfort when we consider those fruits that God works by his grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that his dear children, those little lambs, the sheep, may have the testimony that they belong to him, that they may go home in adoration. And so our first thought, hard-hearted hearers. We read this in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus is giving an explanation, or you could say his own commentary on his own parable. He explains what we read in verse 4. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Children, I'm sure you've seen gardens. I'm sure you've seen fields. And now we see a field in the Old Testament or in the New Testament time where those farmers, they didn't have big tractors and GPS where they put the seed exactly where they wanted. No, they go along and they sow the seed. And the seed goes in the air and maybe the wind picks them up and some of that seed falls on a very hard path where people maybe walked all the time, very hard, like wood. And there the seed lands on that well-packed earth where people walk. It's hard. The seed cannot penetrate into that earth. Hearers with hearts that are hard, that hard path, those are those hearers, their hearts are hard. They hear the word, but it runs off. Just like water runs off of a rock, it doesn't penetrate. The word comes and it runs off their hearts. Remember, they hear. These are hearers. These aren't people in the world. No, these are people that hear the word of God, the law, and the gospel. They're hearers. You would say today they're in church. Church members, baptized members, confessing members, or children that go to school, or children in home that hear the word. They're hearers. But what happens? What do we read in verse 15? The seed sown, Satan comes and plucks it away. Soon after the seed is sown, birds come. And we read, Satan immediately comes and takes it away. And it's gone forever. It has no fruit. It does nothing. It's on that hard heart, and soon it's gone. But let's think of what these hard-hearted hearers, because that's what they are, hard-hearted hearers, what do they hear? What does the Lord proclaim to them? And yet they remain so hard under the word of God. First, they hear the law. And we hear the law every Sunday. Exodus 20. The Lord is teaching us of our sin. We hear it. We say, truth. But do we tremble? Do we become guilty? Do we become lost? Do we become guilty before holy God? They hear it. They don't tremble. Hard-hearted hearers. They hear the gospel. The precious gospel. The good news that God sent his son into the world to save sinners. Even the chief of sinners. Unworthy sinners. Hell-worthy sinners. But they don't receive that news with any joy. Their hearts are hard. They hear the word. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the ambassador. And he speaks. He speaks with a searching word. He searches the hearts. For example, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? He's searching the heart. Why? Why, poor sinner? Why do you not care for your soul? Why do you care for everything else except for your soul? Why do you take so much care for things that will perish when your soul will never perish? They hear it. Or through other verses, through the word of God, but their hearts are hard. He tries to allure them through the word. Through the word, what word? For example, he calls, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tries to allure them. He teaches them of the law, and he tries to lure them with that precious, alluring word, come unto me. But those hard, hard tears, they don't have any guilt. They're hard. They don't have any need. They don't need any rest. No burdens. No need for communion with God. Their hearts are hard. Is that your heart still? Is it still your heart? Children, adults, older ones? And the Lord comes. He comes as that weeping prophet over Jerusalem. He comes before them even as that weeping one. How often I would gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, and ye would not. They even hear that word of a weeping Savior over unworthy sinners, and their hearts still remain so hard. Their hearts are like a stone. A stone. And he comes with an inviting word sometimes through the preaching or in the Bible studies or in confession or in catechism or in school or at home. He says, come now. Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. And our sins are as scarlet. They are as crimson. But by nature, we don't see it. Those hard-hearted ones, they're dead. There's no life. They hear it. They don't see it. They're blind. And he comes even more. He comes with an oath to try to capture their hearts. He comes with an oath. As I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. They're wicked. But turn ye, for why will ye die? The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. They hear it. They don't tremble. They don't rejoice. No effect. Hard-hearted sinners. Is that still you after all these years? Is that how you came to church today? And then we read in verse 15, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word. Ah, that's not my fault. Satan comes. It's his fault. We can blame Satan. He's those ones that the burden comes and plucks the seed. It's his fault. It's not my fault. No, it's not. They cooperate. They harden their hearts. And they give the opening to Satan to pluck at that seed. They go to the church, and as soon as they can, for example, they go on their cell phone. They want to talk about everything else. They don't meditate. They don't take the word home. They go and don't go on their knees. They harden their hearts. They're like Pharaoh. Yes, God hardened his heart, but Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God hardened his heart. They're like Felix. We'll hear thee at a later season. They don't move me now. I will later, later. Like the Pharisees, they reject, they hear it, but they only reject it. And now listen to what J.C. Ryle says. And I say this with pain in my heart, congregation. Listen, I believe many in this congregation is what J.C. Ryle says. And I say it with pain, but listen, may the Lord shoot an arrow that you would be awakened tonight. He says, there are myriads of professing Christians in this state of soul. There is hardly a church or chapel where scores of them are not to be found. Sunday after Sunday, they allow the devil to catch away the good seed that is sown on the face of their hearts. Week after week, they live on without faith, without fear or knowledge or grace, feeling nothing, caring nothing, agreeing with everything, yet taking no more interest in religion than if Christ had never died on the cross at all. And he says, and in this state, they often die and are buried and are lost forever in hell. This is a mournful picture, but only too true, says J.C. Ryle. How is it with your heart? Do you come Sunday after Sunday, never trembling, never any joy, just a hard heart? This is the reality, congregation. Many children, many teenagers, many adults, many older ones, seniors. And I must tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is weeping. He is willing. He is waiting. Yes, he will do more, but you need to listen to this. Do not turn away. How oft I would have gathered, but we turn away. We need to become guilty. We need to become lost. We need to become who we are, that hard-hearted heart. Then maybe you want to use an excuse. Maybe you want to use an excuse. doctrinal excuse. You say, the Lord's not calling me, he only calls the elect. How do you know you're not the elect? You can't use that excuse, not at all. Whoever hears the word, so you have an ear, you hear it. Whoever hears the word, the Lord is sincerely calling. Yes, canons of Dort, third and fourth head, article 8 and 9. And as many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called and should comply with the invitation. Promises of eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and believe on him. It is not the fault of the gospel, nor of Christ offered therein, nor of God, that those who are called by the ministry of the word refuse to come and be converted. The fault lies in themselves, some of whom, when called, regardless of their danger, reject the word of life. But maybe you still say, maybe inside, you wouldn't say this out loud, right? But maybe inside you say, really? Is the Lord calling me? Is he really? Is he unfeignedly calling me? Me? What did Alexandre Calmy say about this? At the ABCs of faith under hearing. The word is spoken to you in particular. It is true that God does not address you in his word by your name. You will not hear your name. In a way you will, yes. But listen closely. Not that you will hear your physical name. But the word is to each one in particular who hears. And then he quotes a verse. Proverbs 8 verse 4. Unto you, O men, do I call. And my voice is to the sons of man. And then he says, what Jesus declares unto you is spoken to you in particular, as though your name and surname stood printed in the Bible. Oh, that this would stir your heart and break your hard heart, that the Lord is speaking to you in particular. What a wonder of his grace that he's even willing to still speak to us, unworthy sinners. Hard-hearted sinners, no fear of God, no sorrow for sin, no hunger and thirst after righteousness, no faith, no fruit, in short, no life, death. Dead and blinded by the God of this world, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, maybe you say, that's not me. We heard the first one, the first type of hearers, a hard-hearted hearer. Maybe you say, that's not me. I've had some little impressions. I've had a little emotions in the past. I cried once. I had a little joy. Well, now we go to the second hearer. Shallow heart hearers, verse 16. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Beautiful. Beautiful? Really? Is it so beautiful? It seems beautiful. They receive it immediately with joy. They have emotions. They receive it with joy. That's good, is it? Is it? I remember once my father, when we had the farm, we stood on a little bit of a hill, and the back field was much lower. We stood on that hill looking on that field that we had planted grass a little while ago. And the heat was on that field. There was lots of moisture. And there I saw a spot, already a green haze. I said, Dad, beautiful. That's going to be the best place in the whole field. And he looked at me and said, no, son. That's going to be the worst place. But I said, look, there's grass already. And he said, no, son. And he was right. Because later, the other grass grew. It came a little later. The roots went down. But here on this little place, it was only a thin layer of dirt, and then it was rock. And later, when there came the sun, and there was a little drought, that place was all dead. Dead. It looked great, but it wasn't. It wasn't real. It wasn't true. Shallow. these hearers also hear the word. And what happens? Immediately receive with gladness. No resistance, no opposition, happiness. They receive it with pleasure. They love the truth. They love the doctrines. They love to hear about forgiveness. They love to hear about heaven. They love to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They write it down. They go to church. They're full of joy. They're high. They're leaping. They're skipping. But there's a but. True joy. The gospel will work true joy. But listen, verse 17, we read, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They are offended. It looks so good, but it withers. Why? What's the problem, congregation? They had joy in the gospel. Why? What's the problem? No firm, deep root. Shallow heart hearers. Affliction comes. Problems comes. Crosses comes. And they are offended. They turn away. They reject it. Persecution for the word's sake, for the name of Jesus Christ. And because they are acquainted with God's people and associated with God's people, consider God's people, now they will also be persecuted. And that's the last thing they want. No, they will give up much, but they won't dare want to be suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to go to prison. They want to suffer persecution. They don't want to lose money, etc. And so they are offended and turn away. Why? Because there's no depth. There's no depth in their heart. There's no profound conviction of sin. No true repentance. No trembling in the awe of a holy and a justice God. No profound true saving faith, because true saving faith also believes who I am in the sight of God, and there is joy in the gospel. But it's not only joy in the gospel, it's mourning out of a deep sorrow for sin. More or less flows the real true joy from God through Christ for wretched sinners. Lots of words, but it's only fluff. Fluff soap bubbles, and they pop. Maybe very educated. Maybe can use lots of phrases to explain even the life of God's people, but it's all copycat. It doesn't come out of the heart. And they don't say it with their own words, explaining the truth, what they really have experienced. It's just copycat. There's no regeneration. They hear the word of God. They hear the gospel. And they have joy thinking everything will be a great future. But they've never learned about self in the sight of a holy God. They never learned of how wretched and sinful and guilty and lost and polluted and corrupt and how separated they are from a holy and just God who is also very merciful and full of goodness through his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And they can live like this for a short time, a long time, and it can even be even unto death. Want some examples? Children, you know Pilgrim's Progress, right? Teenagers, you know this story. Remember who was traveling with Christian and fell into that slough of despond with him? It was Pliable. What was the difference between Christian and Pliable? Remember Pliable? When he got out, he went back. He went back to the city. Why? What was the difference? Christian had a burden of sin on his back. He was looking to be forgiven, to have that burden away. But Pliable didn't have that burden. He did not have the conviction of sin. I think of Palm Sunday, remember? All those Jews following the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But a few days later, crucify him, crucify him. Joy, joy, there comes your king. Jesus is the king, waving those palm branches, throwing their robes before him, adoring him, full of joy. But later, crucify him, crucify him. Shallow-hearted hearers. I think of John 6, verse 66, where you hear of many that went away, followed him for some time, but went away when he talked about the real need of believing in Jesus Christ and his broken body and shed blood. Or others we read in Hebrews, they tasted. They tasted the word of God. That seems quite something. Tasted. But they didn't eat it. They didn't eat it. True faith is eating. It's easy believism. Easy believism. It's not saving. They're unwilling to suffer for the gospel. They love the blessings, many blessings. They want heaven, but they don't want reconciliation with God. There's no heart for God, no broken heart. Their will has not been changed. Emotional, but not the will has not been broken for God. Spurgeon. Yes, Spurgeon, he said about these shallow hearts. He said, "And all the word was blessed to them. They never felt so happy in their lives. Oh, sir, I thought I must leap from my seat when I heard about a precious Christ. I believed on him there and then, and I'm sure I did." And then we asked them whether they ever felt the need for a Savior. They said yes, but they meant no, because they knew they had to say yes. We questioned whether they ever had conviction of sin. Well, they say, "We think we did, but we don't know." But one thing we had, we felt joy in religion. Shallow heart hearers. What are they lacking? Self-knowledge. Knowledge of God. Self-knowledge. They're lacking self-loathing. Because we read in Ezekiel 36, when the Lord works, takes away the heart of stone and gives a new heart, what will be the result? They will loathe self because of who they are, because of sin. They lack uncovering light to all their wretchedness. There's no humility. There's no broken will, no broken heart. Just a thin layer of joy and no depth. Shallow heart hearers. Is that you? Is that you? Search your own heart. And now listen to what J.C. Ryle says. "These are they on whom preaching produces temporary impressions, but no deep, lasting, and abiding effect. They take pleasure in hearing sermons in which the truth is faithfully set forth. They can speak with apparent joy and enthusiasm about the sweetness of the gospel, but unhappily, there is no stability about their religion. They have no root in themselves. Their heart has not been broken up. Their heart has not been plowed up by the law, and so they endure for a time. There is no real work of the Holy Spirit in their heart," J.C. Ryle says. "Afflictions and persecution arise for the word's sake, and they fall away." This proves that it's just a morning cloud, and it passes on. I pray there's none like this tonight, but if you are, be honest with yourself if this is you. Be honest. Confess to the Lord and beg him for his grace for your soul's sake. For your soul's sake. Because soul lost, all lost. Be honest with your soul before the Lord. And so we read also in the Canons of Dort, in the third and fourth head, Article 9. "Others, though they receive it, suffer it not to make a lasting impression on their hearts. Therefore their joy arises only from temporary faith, soon vanishes, and they fall away." Hard-hearted hearers and shallow heart hearers. Maybe you sigh. You say, "I'm not hard-hearted. I haven't fallen away. I haven't withered. There's still life. I still go to church. I still listen to the word." But the Lord digs deeper. He goes deeper yet. The third type of a hearer. Crowded heart hearers. We read this in verse 18. "And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the words." Children, have you ever seen a field? And you wonder, even did the farmer even plant seed in that field? I don't see any grass. I don't see any wheat. I don't see any corn. All I see is just weeds. I saw fields like that in Sunnyside this past week. You have a beautiful vineyard, and then beside, it just looks like all desert. You wonder, has anything been sown there? Crowded heart hearers. And we know when we have a garden and we have a field, we need to pull the weeds out. Because if the weeds keep growing, they will choke out the plants, and the plant will die, and there will be no fruit at all. these hearers hear the word. Maybe they followed the Lord Jesus from some time. Maybe they went from town to town. They love to go to church. They love to hear the word. They love to even go to midweeks. Good, do it. And they enjoyed, these people enjoyed seeing the miracles. They enjoyed listening to the parables. They enjoyed listening to the doctrines of Jesus Christ and said, never a man taught like him. And they feel this is all true, everything he said. But, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Why? Why does the word that was put on their heart, was proclaimed to them, become so unfruitful? Why? Distractions of the world take control of their hearts. They have too many preoccupations for all the cares of the world, and we can make a whole list of these things. But you can make your own list. Many things that we would be preoccupied instead of meditating upon the word of God. They are, so to speak, double-minded. They like to go to church, but their heart is still in the world. Listen to the warning that Paul gives in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Is that you? No, money isn't wrong. It's from God. But the love of money, the preoccupation for money and more money and more money, bigger business, nicer house, nicer cars, better vacations, that controls your whole life so you can just enjoy this world instead of meditating upon the word. And it chokes out the word, becomes unfruitful. 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what's the deadly effect? They hear the word, they agree with the word, but unfruitful. There is no fruit. I'll read again from the Canons of Dort. Others choke the seed of the word by perplexing cares and pleasures of this world and produce no fruit. This our Savior teaches in the parable of the sower. I saw a vineyard also in Sunnyside. I saw beautiful vineyards. But I saw a vineyard also that the weeds were taller than the vine. You slow down your car and I saw no fruit. No fruit on those vines. No grapes. Other fields look beautiful. Lots of grapes. But these fields had no grapes at all. None. Not even tiny ones. None. The weeds were controlling that whole vineyard. What a picture. Is that your heart? Shallow or crowded heart? Hearers, is that you? And now listen to J.C. Ryle. These are they who attend to the preaching of Christ's truth and to a certain extent obey it. Their understanding agrees to it. Their judgment approves of it. Their conscience is affected by it. Their affections are in favor of it. They acknowledge that it's all right and good and worthy of reception. They even abstain from many things which the gospel condemns and adopt, many habits which the gospel requires. But, and here it comes, they are unhappily, they stop short. They stop short. Something appears to chain them fast, and they never get beyond a certain point in the religion. And the grand secret of their condition is the world. The world. The world. Choking out the word. Is this you, my friend? Is this you, a crowded heart here, listening at home to the Bible stories? So many other cares. Choke it out. Go to school. Listen to the lessons. Go to catechism. Confession of faith. Come to church. But you go out. You're concerned. Money. Health. So many other things. But especially the riches of this world. Choke it all out. No repentance. No faith. No wholehearted 100% surrendering to the obedience to the word of God and his will. Will not broken. No hunger and thirst for God and for Jesus Christ. They're like Lot's wife. She went out, but looking back, looking to the world. They're like the rich ruler. Want eternal life, but not willing to give up everything. There's a but. They know it, but I can't. I don't want to. I want to live to my heart, my ways, my flesh. No room. No room. For the crowded heart hears, for the precious word of God to bring forth fruit. What do these all three have in common? They're all lost. They're all lost. No fruit. No fruit. And maybe you tremble now. Maybe. Maybe I'm just a shallow heart hearer. I know I had some impressions. I know I had some emotions. Are they real? I need to know if they are real. I tremble. And who can rest? Because all of us, also us, Church of God, must we not confess how often we're also allured from all the glitter of this world and our hearts are pulled away also? Who's not guilty? Who's not guilty of allowing the cares of this world to choke out the word? I am also, yes, I'll confess. But there's another heart hearer. There's another soil, thankfully. And true Christians, those with the true work of God, they long to search themselves. They want to be searched. They want to be tried because they want to know if it's the truth. They don't want just a little band-aid. They want it to go deep into their heart. And they're like David, which we read in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, before we come to our last thought, let us sing from the Psalm 384, stanzas 1, 2, and 5, and we'll do that standing. 384, 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 384, 1, 2, and 5. Hearers of the gospel, hard-hearted hearers, is that you? Shallow heart hearer, is that you? Or are you a crowded heart hearer? Or are you still waiting, longing, hoping to hear your heart described? Is it you? Well, there's a fourth type of soil, a fourth type of hearer. It's not shallow at all. There's depth. It's not hardened, but soft, broken up. No, they didn't break it up. God broke it up. It's by God's grace. It's not worldly crowded. Yes, worldly temptations. And sometimes they fall, but then they come, repent. This heart has the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And this heart has been prepared for the seed sown, and it brings forth fruit. I think of David. He had a broken heart. I think of Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. Opened her heart for the word of God, and the word of God had effect on her heart. We read in verse 20, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. They hear the word and they receive it. But maybe you noticed in verse 16 that hearer we read also received. So what's the difference? What's the difference? In verse 16, they received, and now in verse 20, they also receive. What's the difference? Well, you need to study the Greek. Because in verse 16, they receive it, it speaks of the mind. They understand a little, they agree with it in the mind, historical faith, but it goes no deeper. Now in verse 20, they receive it with the heart. They take it. They eat it. It becomes one with it. They receive it. They embrace it. They live according to it. They obey it. They follow it. It becomes their rule of life. They surrender by God's grace to it. And the verb is in the present. It's now. It's not past. No, it's continually. They continually receive the word. They open the word. They read the word. They come to church. They want to hear the word. And they beg the Lord to apply it to their hearts. And they receive it by God's grace. No, it's no negotiations. Trying to live with the world and with God. No, they want to kill the world. They want to give their whole heart to the Lord, to follow Him and to Jesus Christ. And they bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And yes, we need lessons here. The babes in grace, the more advanced and the mature, we need to be careful, especially if we're a little more advanced and we hear the little babe explaining something. Then we don't say, well, it's not as much as I have, so erase it all. No, careful. Is the essence there? Is the truth there? Those true marks of grace which we will hear. The evidence of being born again is not just a sudden, out of nowhere, a burst of joy. No, it's not. You say Zacchaeus. He received her, but we read of his repentance, my friend. We read of his repentance. He knew also of his misery. But it's bringing forth fruit, lifelong fruit. Good works for the glory of God. And they will do it even in their old age. As we read in Psalm 92 verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Why? By God's grace. By God's grace. We say, those are good hearers. Careful. It's not them. Are they better than those other hearers? Are they different? No, in themselves? There is absolutely no difference. They're just as sinful, just as wicked, just as lost, just as hard by nature. But God's grace made the difference. Let's read the canons of Dort again. Third and fourth head, 10:11. But that others who are called by the gospel and obey and are converted is not ascribed to the free will, but wholly ascribed to God. Gives them grace, translates them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He not only caused the gospel to be externally preached to them, but powerfully illuminates their mind by the Holy Spirit that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God. And by the grace received, They bring forth fruits. As you read at the end, they bring forth fruits. Fruits. The first three, the hard-hearted hearer, the shallow heart hearer, the crowded heart hearer has no fruits. And it's their guilt. It's your guilt, my friend. If you're one of these three, it's your guilt. You can't blame anyone else. You can't blame the Lord. You can't blame the Word. It's your fault. It's your heart. It's your unbelief. It's your guilt. And we need to become guilty. But this last one, these hearers, the fruitful hearers, it's all ascribed to the marvelous, wonderful love and grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit upon the merits of Jesus Christ. All honor and glories to them goes to Him, and they may be recipients, and they may joy in the wonder of God's grace, and they bring forth fruit. A tree is known by its fruit, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 17 through 20. But what are these fruits? Are you wondering? Are you still sighing? Oh, may I be that last one? Am I? Am I that last one? Listen, the Canons of Dort also says clearly the fruits, the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as faith in Christ, filial fear, a godly sorrow for sin, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let's think of each of these for a moment and examine yourself. Are these fruits in your life? Faith in Christ. Yes, faith in Christ. They hear of Him as a lost sinner, as a wretched sinner. They hear of Him longing for communion with God, longing to be brought back to God. They want that way back. They want His favor. And they hear of Him, of that only mediator who can bring the two together. And it becomes such an amazing wonder, such amazing grace to hear of one, a way back to God. And that hearing of the gospel gives profound joy out of that heart that's broken up and lost and stripped. And he says something so comforting tonight. He says, from me is thy fruit found. Because those people, when they look on their life, where's the fruit? They can't say, look at all the fruit in my life. Look at it all. Isn't it beautiful? No. They often say, where is the fruit? It's there. But where is it? But they also know how poor their fruit is. They need that fruit because God the Father is looking for their fruit. And Jesus Christ said, from me is thy fruit found. Has that become a wonder for you? Is there true faith in Jesus Christ? John Calvin says, that is the most strongest, clearest mark of ever being one of those chosen ones in eternity. That you, as a lost sinner, a perishing sinner, believe, trust only in Him for life, for salvation, for the way back to God. Is there faith? The true saving faith in Jesus Christ. Filial fear, what's that? What is it? Is it fear of a slave with his master, that every time his master enters the room, they tremble? Is it fear of a harsh master? No. What is that fear? The tender fear of the Lord. That's a blessing to have it in your heart. To have it in your heart, to live with the tender fear of the Lord. Awe for God. Love for God, respect for God, a holy fear, a holy awe, a hungering for Him, a longing for Him, a desire to serve Him, admiration for Him, for His law, for His word, for His truth. Adoring a holy, good-doing God. The sinner has a broken heart, and there's a true fear of God in his heart. At the same time, there's a self-abhorrence. Abhorring of self and a tender fear of the Lord and of that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Godly sorrow for sin. That's another fruit. Sorrow for sin. Those shallow heart hearers, they have joy, but they have no sorrow for sin. Sorrow for sin. Godly sorrow, hating sin, that you are sin, remain sin, have done sin, and that you continue to do sin, it becomes a pain. It becomes a pain in your heart that you still sin against such a holy but good doing God. And there's a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They want to live holy. They want to obey God. They want to cut off all sin. They read the word of God. What is the Lord's will? What sin? Show me. And they want to cut it all out. What the word says is sin. No, not what man says is sin, but what the Lord says is sin. They want to cut it out. They're like Robert Murray McShane, who said, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. Why, Robert? Why, sinner? Because there's love. Love in deep in the heart for God, and you want to serve him. And when that's missing, you're sad. And some of that the heart can be so hard again, and you grieve because it's so hard again. J.C. Ryle said, these are they who really receive Christ's truth into the bottom of their hearts. Believe it. Obey it thoroughly. And these fruits of the truth will be seen. Sin will be hated. Righteousness will be loved. Christ will be loved, hungered after, thirsted after, fled unto, obeyed. Holiness will be the way of life. And it will be in humility. Humility. In patience. In meekness. No, not telling big stories to other people. Meekness. Wanting to speak about him. Him. For his honor. For his glory. For his mercy. And he says, the true work of the Spirit cannot be hid. And so we hear a little something of the fruits. Search your own heart. And there's love. There's love. Love for God. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ, as John wrote in his epistle, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Is there love? Love for God. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there love for your neighbor, even for those who you disagree with? Do you not criticize other, but you pray for them? You care for them. All the church. It's one family. Do you care for each other? Listen to each other. Pray for each other. Is there love? And so we hear of these four different types of hearers. The seed has been sown here in Cortland since 2019. You heard the word in different means. In the sermons, read, preached. You heard the word in catechism, confession of faith. You heard it in Bible study. Yes, there's a Bible study. Come to the Bible study if you can. To listen to the word, come to the worship service. And I'm thankful, congregation, because I go to other congregations. In the morning, many people. At night, where is everyone? But I don't see that here. Faithfully, faithfully attend. I'm thankful for that. But it's not enough. You need to become a fruitful hearer by God's grace. Is there hope? There's hope. Because there's a sower. No, not this man. He's just a sinner. He's not important. But there's a sower. It's God. It's Jesus Christ. He sows the seed through sinful instruments. That's what we are. Sinful instruments. Just a voice crying in the wilderness, stammering. But he sows the seed. The word is good. The seed is good. But how is it with your heart? Are you still hard-hearted? Go home. Tell the Lord, my heart is so hard after all I've heard. Be honest. Be honest. Are you a shallow heart hearer? You've had some joy, but you really don't know what it's to be lost. Go home, confess, and beg the Lord for his grace. Are you a crowded heart hearer? You know the truth. It pulls on you, but you carry on with the world. Beg the Lord to conquer your heart and to help you to flee from the whole world. James says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But have you listened to the fruits, and you say, they're so poor, but I can't deny it. God has worked it in me. There is a sorrow for sin. I have a self-loathing. I hate sin. I hunger to be good, to be pure, to be holy, and that wretched flesh that clings to me. there is that hearing of the precious gospel. I long to hear more of that Savior, because he's my life. He's my hope. He's my everything. He's my righteousness. I need his blood. I need his covering. I need his washing. Is that you? What do we read in the Canon? By observing in yourself with spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible fruits of election. You hear it? Did you listen? Go home. And if it's you, with spiritual joy and holy pleasure. Ah, God. God worked in me. It wasn't me. I only deserve to be cast away. But God did it. Go home, adoring him for his great grace. May the Lord richly bless the sowing of the seed here in Cortland, and whoever is listening in this whole area, and all the congregations, and through the denomination, and through the denominations, and through the world, for the glory and for the honor of his name. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O thy seed, the word of thy seed is perfect, able to convert the chiefest, the hardest of sinners. May it be tonight, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be awakened, uncovered, lost. But also, Lord, we beg thee that thy dear people, those poor, wretched sinners who wonder, what is it within? Who am I? May they hear it. May they be given by thy Spirit that it testifies with there, that they may go home in spiritual joy and holy pleasure. And awe for the wonders of thy grace. Lord, do it for thy great namesake. Keep us in this week, Lord. Do not pass us by, but richly bless thy word. Lord, we thank thee for this time, in the middle of this week, to listen to the precious word of God. Thou hast helped through. Bless it, Lord, to the glory of thy name. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 251. Let's sing all three stanzas. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. 251, all three stanzas. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.